The president's indispensable partner in these operations was his then legal counsel, subsequently Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez. In order to protect the president from being charged with illegally ordering the torture of captives, Gonzalez gathered around him a remarkable coterie of right-wing lawyers from various branches of the government. These included the Korean-American scholar John Yoo, then Assistant Attorney General, Timothy Flanagan, Deputy Counsel to the President, Patrick F. Philbin, Deputy Assistant Attorney General, William J. Haynes, General Counsel for the Department of Defense, and J.S. Bybee, Assistant Attorney General. With sophistry and ideological fervor, these legal specialists prepared briefs, torture memos, for the President and the Secretary of Defense, claiming, among other things, that in order to respect the president's inherent constitutional authority to manage a military campaign, the statutory prohibition against torture must be construed as inapplicable to interrogations undertaken pursuant to his commander-in-chief authority. Congress lacks authority under Article 1 of the Constitution to set the terms and conditions under which the president may exercise his authority as commander-in-chief to control the conduct of operations during a war. In fact, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution expressly states, "The Congress shall have power to declare war and make rules concerning captures on land and water." As Karen Greenberg and Joshua Dreitel, editors of the torture papers and leading authorities on these machinations, argue, "The torture memos deliberately disregard, even nullify, the balance of powers doctrine that has defined the United States since its inception." Harold Hong-Yu Ko, Dean of Yale's University Law School and former Assistant Secretary of State, says, "The notion that the president has the constitutional power to permit torture is like saying he has the constitutional power to commit genocide. It's just erroneous legal analysis." Gonzalez's lawyers nonetheless argued for a unitary executive theory of presidential power, which essentially suggests that in time of war, as they also insisted the president's self-proclaimed war on terror was, the president, as commander-in-chief, has almost uncontestable powers to do more or less as he pleases, whatever Congress or the courts may say. Perhaps the most short-sighted aspect of this claim to absolute presidential power is that it leads unavoidably to the president's liability under the concept of command responsibility, the doctrine that a military commander is legally liable for all abuses and atrocities committed by his troops, whether he knows about them or not. After World War II, the United States put Japanese General Tomoyuki Yamashita, the so-called Tiger of Malaya and subsequently commander of Japanese forces in the Philippines, on trial. A U.S. war crimes tribunal found that he had failed to uphold command responsibility for his troops, who had massacred thousands of innocent civilians in Manila in early 1945, even though the defense established that he had no knowledge of the crimes. Because Yamashita was tried by a military court, he appealed his case directly to the U.S. Supreme Court, which upheld his conviction by a vote of 5-3, thereby establishing the doctrine of command responsibility in American law.